Mammoth
Audio. This is Scammapalooza. My name is Nicholas J. Johnson. For more information on today's show, check out conman.com.au. There's a little bit of the con man in all of us. The anarchist that wants to pull the wool over some gullible fool's eyes for no other reason than just good fun. But for those of us with too little balls or too many morals, there is the snipe hunt. The classic fool's errand that sees gauntless apprentices sent for left-handed screwdrivers and striped paint. This week on the show, I'm joined by comedian Laura Davis as we battle a bad case of the flu and a dodgy microphone to discuss her 2009 paper, Snipe Hunts, an oral history of the fool's errand. My name is Nicholas J. Johnson, and this is Scammapalooza.
I'm very excited that you're here for this podcast because I very rarely have people in the room with me. I'm always Skyping and telephoning people in far distant lands.
No, we're sitting right face to face.
We are. That's
at your kitchen table.
Indeed, which you've sat at many times before.
Yes.
Because you are my daughter's third favourite person in the world.
Yay!
And she has grandparents.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, every time our front gate clicks, both Bridget and I are here, she goes, Laura? Laura?
Which is good because whenever I visit when you are here or see her in public, she cries because she thinks that you and Mum are going to leave, me with her. And so I look like a monster.
Yeah.
When people are, oh, yeah, this is the girl that I babysit crying as I come near.
Yes. Oh, well, children are dumb. So the reason why you're here is not just because of your superb child traumatizing skills, but because of your, can I call them expertise?
I really doubt expertise.
Because of your knowledge and interest,
okay, we'll
call it,
there we
in
go.
the subtle art of the snipe hunt. The fool's
sniping.
Errand, the sniping of hunts.
Snipery.
So a snipe hunt is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is essentially any fool's errand that you send someone on.
Yeah, it's how you get rid of people. Just that you don't want to talk to, just think of something that doesn't exist and send them to go and get it.
So the important part is that you're sending someone to find something that does not exist.
Yes.
We should explain the reason why you're the person we're talking to about this is that you wrote is it a master's or an honors?
As part of my communications degree.
Right. Okay. It's a very long article. I have it here. It's 15,000 words.
Well, I was...
To me, it says thesis.
Okay. Right. Because I thought theses were like huge, like 30,000 words or
15,000
something.
15,000 is a lot of words, particularly
yes.
on a subject as, let's not beat around the bush here, as
well, I wasn't,
superficial.
I wasn't at uni very much when I was there. I really hated it a lot. And so submitting like solid assignments was the only thing that I could do that my lecturers would even know. Like if you sent one of my lecturers on a snipe hunt, it would be to find me because I was not there. So, yeah, my main goal was to submit really solid articles and things so that they knew that I was at least.
That you were there. Fair
existed.
Enough. You existed.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone would like to read it, I'm going to put it up on the website. So it will be at conman.com.au/snipehunt and you can read the opus of snipe huntery. It's fantastic.
It's my best work. It's really sad because it was published back in 2009, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's my best work.
It's your best. It was
everything.
All downhill.
Yeah,
there.
All downhill.
Yeah. The name is a little disappointing. The Snipe Hunt, an oral history of the fool's errand. I thought you would have a pun in the title somewhere, but that's just, you've just.
No, heard. No. See, I started comedy in 2008, 2009, so it didn't even occur to me. I took myself very, very seriously. I've got some papers. I've saved that they've printed out ones at home, and it's stuff like Angels and Whores, the paradigm of women in Chaucer's The Nun's Tale or something like that, some horrifically. And I've got like some Google stock image of like an angel crying on the front of it.
Etymology of the word is a snipe.
It's a bird, yeah.
A bird, yeah. But it is a real bird.
Yeah, it's a real bird. Apparently very difficult to catch. Like it's a shore bird. Like hunters would get top marks if they were able to catch one. I don't know why they're down on the beach shooting birds. I don't think they taste good or something. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that they are difficult to shoot makes them worth shooting, and that's it.
Right. And the first snipe hunts was essentially sending campers out into the woods in the middle of the night to say, we're going on a special hunt for the snipe, but in order to catch it, we need to do these certain things.
Yes.
And it was basically how ridiculous, you know, you've got to put a pillowcase on your head and stand on one leg, and whatever you do, don't breathe, or, you know, block your nose because they can hear you breathing through your nose, and eventually they'll come. And it was really just to keep people busy or to see how stupid they would they would be. Is that right?
That is completely true.
Right. Okay. It sounds like something from a Lewis Carroll.
Yeah. It also sounds like a metaphor for modern governments. All sorts of horrific things.
One of my sort of go-to preparations for any podcast is to Google, you know, the phrase and do a Google News search, and the word snipe hunt just comes up over and over again in the government's on a snipe hunt. So what are some examples? Because it's now something that is not just campers, obviously. It tends to be something that exists within businesses and within occupations and trades. Everyone has their own variation of the snipe hunt.
It's a proper term for people just being dicks. Uh-huh. Painters in Switzerland will send their apprentice to go and get a frog's hair brush, which I can only imagine happened once. I can't imagine it's a Swiss tradition.
I don't know. The Swiss are weird. They could totally have that as an actual thing. The classic is the left-handed hammer. Surely that is the one. Like, I mean, we're going to send someone out for a left-handed hammer or striped paint.
But I didn't know that left-handed scissors really existed. I thought they were fake.
This is because you've become so distrusting of people after your research into snipe hunts. Yeah.
People are like, can you go get me some cheese from the shops? I'm like, don't try to trick me.
Send me on a snipe hunt for this mystical cheese.
My dad, when he goes to the supermarket, though, totally believes in the snipe hunt. I think my dad is deliberately terrible at shopping because he doesn't like it. So he likes to come back with just the worst things. So how can you get tomatoes and pumpkin and this? He'll come back with just like cornflakes and a tin of beans. And that's not what it was. He's like, it doesn't exist. It wasn't there. Pumpkin exists, Dad.
It's like a reverse snipe.
Yeah. You send him for things that do exist. He comes back, tells you they don't.
Yeah.
And you never send him to the shops again.
The key to a good snipe hunt object is that it needs to be ridiculous, but then at the same time believable.
Yeah, possible.
So like a left-handed hammer, if you think about it, it's ridiculous. But if you don't think about it, it seems quite normal. The other ones are things like a board stretcher, which is great. That, of course, eye measures, hammer grease.
I liked bacon stretcher.
Bacon stretcher.
My bacon's too short. We've got shortcut delivered. We need the bacon stretcher.
So the idea is it's like an initiation now. It's like a hazing ceremony. Is that right? That's what I got from the essay, was that you had the idea is not just sending people away, but also kind of, you're not one of us until you've been sent on the snipe hunt.
Yeah.
There seem to be trades, like a lot of apprentices being sent on, like chefs have them.
Yeah, it's probably cheesemakers out there sending someone off to get the holes for the Jarlsberg.
Yes. Oh, that's got to be one. Yeah. I think the classic is the long stand or the long wait.
Mm-hmm.
To me, though, I don't think the long wait really works. Because if you say, can you go for a long wait? You want me to go and wait somewhere for a long time? That's where my brain goes. It only works if you read it. And see
maybe they write it down on a piece of paper.
Can you go and get this? Because there's also the one where they sort of say, can you give this? They hand the snipe hunt is handed as a note.
Yes.
And so it's take the note and go and see Jim. And so Jim gets handed the note and he opens it up and says, I need a long wait. And he says, sure, no worries. Can you just go and... just going to sit over there and I'll be with you in a second. And then they leave you there for 45 minutes as a
jerk. Jim's a jerk.
Jim is a jerk. Jim's got some troubles at home, so.
Jim should be working, really.
You know what? Jim works hard. And these little games, these little eccentricities of the business are what makes life worth living for Jim. Otherwise, he would have offed himself years ago. In comedy, because you're a comedian now, is there a comedy?
Oh, wow. I want to make a joke of just like go and find like a good open mic room. it's maybe a snipe hunt.
I'm going to go. Can you go and find me a 5 minute light? I need a 5 minute light. What I'm looking for is a socially acceptable rape joke. Do you have any of those?
Go look.
Go look. They're out back. Yeah.
I've scoured the lands. There is not.
Louis C.K.'s got one and Sarah Silverman's got one. So can you go?
Yeah.
Get one as well.
Yeah, I don't know where they got theirs. Have a look. Go see Jim.
Jim Lamb. Oh, Jim's a classic for those.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And in the Air Force, so like the Navy and the Air Force, I've got a list here. Some of these are my own research and some of these are from your essay. It seems to be in jokes are very popular stuff that you only get if you've been in the industry for a long time. And the fact you failed the snipe hunt shows that you are a newbie.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just making people who've been doing stuff for ages feel a bit better about the fact that they're stuck in a rut.
Yes.
Been making cheese for 50 years.
Yeah.
It's my one little bit of joy is bragging that I've been making it for 50 years. You've only been making it for 6 months.
You sound cynical about the snipe hunt. I thought you would be filled with joy about this kind of like whimsical little practical jokes that have plays on words and puns. But you seem to kind of not.
I think I'm really for education and this is undermining it.
This is an anti-education.
This is workplace bullying.
It does. Yeah, I would imagine it does feel a little bit like the begin. Like it's okay now, but this is the start of workplace bullying.
This is going to end. This is the roots of it.
This is where it begins. I took a dark turn fairly early on. The Canadian military have a brass magnet, which is meant to be like so they can collect spent ammunition casing.
Oh,
so the idea is that you get the brass. You know, this obviously. Ammunition casing is made out of brass, so that's everywhere on the ground. You need to pick it up. So you have this special magnet. It is very rare that the person pulling the snipe hunt gets revenge, is it? Like, it's very rare that they come back with the... Sometimes in popular culture, they come back with it. You know, like in movies, and they'll actually find whatever it is. And there you go, found it.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they just end up looking like an idiot. I asked online, like, just ask, you know, for listeners for their suggestion. Michael sent him one that he was sent for blinker fluid. He was working as an auto mechanic and was sent for blinker fluid. And he went around to all of the suppliers and, like, they all said, oh, blinker fluid, no, we don't have any. But go see, you know, go see Jono down the road.
He'll I hope he some. Was getting paid by the hour.
Well, he's an apprentice, so he might have been, but he wasn't getting paid very much. So anyway, he got set up like place to place, and it was like literally 2.5 hours. He suddenly clicked that there's no such thing as blinker fluid, and he was really annoyed. And he stopped at a 7-Eleven on the way home, on the way back, and then came back in and goes, "There you go," and gave the guy a bag of this the blinker fluid, and then walked off. And he opened it up and he'd given him some eye drops. Blinker fluid.
Ah, clever.
Well played, my friend.
Yeah. Tax deductible as well.
Yeah. I feel like that's like you've passed the snipe hunt if you managed to find it or you've managed to pull the wool over their eyes.
I think he did. He'd think he did pass it.
Well done. Good job.
So where is it mentioned in popular culture?
The movie Up, Carl, the old man. He's trying to fool Russell by telling him about snipes and saying, we're going to try and find some snipes and see if we can find a snipe. And he finds a snipe, which is this mythical bird.
Yes.
Which is odd because a snipe is a real bird.
So yeah.
I don't know why they had to come up with a fictional bird.
I think snipes are pretty boring. I did Google them and they're just a little dowdy seabird.
I don't know. They've got a certain charm
to them. I reckon they look pretty dull next to the house floating around on balloons.
Because it is a real bird and because scientists want to find out more about the bird and have to capture and tag them, that means that there are people whose job it is to hunt snipes. And if you are a scientist trying to hunt snipes, trying to find information on how to hunt a snipe is extraordinarily difficult. It becomes itself a snipe hunt, a fool's errand, because every time you go online and look up snipe hunt, you're just presented with annoying tradies called Jim sending people out to look for anti-clockwise Phillips head screwdrivers.
Yes.
There is, though, an article online in which you can learn the art of snipe hunting. It's the technique of Ali Hussain, who's an Indian bird catcher, and it's called the torch and gong, which sounds terrifying, but the bird trapper takes advantage of a moonless night to find water birds, such as a snipe, by carrying a flaming torch while beating a disorientating gong to obscure the surrounds of the approaching trapper. The bewildered bird is spotted, a net is thrown over it, so...
And then what do you do? Then what do you do with the snipe?
Well, I would imagine in this case they want to... tag it. They want to check how it's breeding. They want to, you know, send it off.
Ask it some questions.
Where's the hammer, bird? Where's the hammer?
This is a whole heap of snipes going, oh, man, humans are weird.
Yes, yeah.
They're out here with their gongs and their flames.
Well, there's some other, I mean.
What are these guys about?
In the 50s, they used to do night lighting, which was they would jump onto the backs of trucks with big lights shining on them and then have like butterfly nets and go just driving through the night. Same basic idea that they would see the light and be disorientated by the light and they'd swoop up and catch them with the net. So it's definitely there.
Yeah, go find a recipe for snipe pie.
Snipe pie and see how you go there. Yeah. Do you think that you could really get away with a snipe hunt today. Most of the people I spoke to who said, oh, yeah, I remember when I first started my job. And there were people in their 50s all saying, you know, back when I started, you know, in the 70s or the 80s, that's when there wasn't the internet. Whereas now you just go, oh, I'm going to Google the best place to find, I don't know, sea bats or, you know, military burying
I'm groups. Googling that all the time.
Yeah. I'm looking for left-handed smoke benders or whatever it is.
I think that you could use some of the ambiguity in popular fads. So you could send someone, I think, to go and find, like, a gluten-free watermelon.
Yes.
Or you could send somebody to go and get organic, anything that's not supposed to be organic.
Yeah. The thing is, though, that as soon as someone does a Google image search for it, there is a marketing company somewhere who says, oh, people are looking for gluten-free watermelon. We better get some out on the market. I mean, this is like we're living in an age in which you can buy asparagus water, which costs $6 a bottle. You get about 500 mils, and it is a bottle of spring water with three sticks of asparagus in it.
No, thank you.
So asparagus water is something.
Gross.
That, yeah, it is disgusting. But that's something you would imagine doesn't exist.
Yeah, there's too many things that exist. We've got a lot of density of things existing at the moment.
We've also got snipe hunts that involve some sort of play on words that is usually to do more with the language. For example, in the Czech Republic, this is, I don't know if you remember, this is only like one line from your essay, but it's semisil. It's a Czech phrase. Semisil.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Semisil. And it means I am a donkey. And so children in the Czech Republic get sent to the pharmacy and said, oh, can you buy some semisil? And they go up and basically say, I am a donkey. Also in the Czech Republic.
They don't get the medicine they need.
And they die. Or they get given donkey medicine.
Yes.
Also in the Czech Republic, if you break a spirit level, then you get sent to buy a new bubble for your spirit level. That's great.
I like that. Same as going to find the holes for the cheese.
Yeah, holes for the cheese. Yes.
Actual air, actual nothing.
You seem to like the ones which are existential. For want of a better word, the idea. Come and bring me the very essence of nothingness. Yes. Bring me the absence of cheese.
Go find me the concept of...
the concept of something that doesn't...
It's like a cone, like a zen task is essentially a snipe hunt. Is it if the tree falls in the woods, you're sending somebody on a mental snipe hunt to find an answer that doesn't exist.
Yes.
It's the searching that is the point.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is the sound of one hand clapping?
Yeah,
it's a cone. It's a Zen cone, but it's also a mental snipe hunt. I like those a lot.
I can imagine that being one that someone would be sent to in, like, the film and TV. Can you go and get me the, I need a sound effect. Can you just go to the sound effect library and get me the sound of one hand clapping?
Yes.
And bring that back, please. I think that sense of a snipe hunt is inherently a mean thing to do.
The fact that it is mean shows how much we value our time. Like, you're just wasting somebody's time.
I think that is
a mean thing to do.
Yeah. The joke is fine. It's the wasting my time.
Yeah.
That's the one that annoys me.
Death is coming, and that's a day I didn't get because I was looking for indicator fluid.
Yeah. Like, that's the long wait. The long stand. There's something very dark about it.
Yeah. I like the idea that there might be some, like, very grim, very bleakly under-equipped factories where it's they send people to find things that should exist, but they just don't have. go get the hammer. It's pretty funny we don't have a hammer.
Yeah.
We really need one.
Yeah. Like the idea of someone on their first day being sent out a case is very, very important, but we need you to go and get a foam fire extinguisher. We need the foam. We've got a water one. We want a foam one. And then he's going, hang on. No, fire extinguishers are made out of metal. I'm not falling for that. No. And then the whole place burns to the ground.
Yes. Well, what about just basic things like telling your child to go and look for the Easter bunny whilst you hide the eggs?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was always sent things like that. Like, you know, Tooth Fairy, she might be here still. Let's look for her. She doesn't exist.
No, that's right. Yeah, I've done that, actually. Same thing, Easter egg hunt. Tell the kids to go look for the Easter eggs and then... While they're doing
you heist the eggs
in another part and go, no luck. Well, why don't you try over there? Where I just quickly hid the Easter eggs because kids are dumb, they'll fall for anything. Yeah.
This is an indicator of kind of that very casually racist middle suburbia. I was brought up in, my parents always threatened me with any bad behavior, and I don't think I was a particularly badly behaved child to warrant this, but that they would sell me to the gypsies. And they told me that a group of gypsies would walk down the street every day, like at night, just before night, and if I was bad, they were going to sell me to them. And so some nights we would, like, go into the street to look to make sure the gypsies were coming or they're not coming.
That's really horrible.
It's really horrible. Yeah, I was pretty convinced.
One of the classics is a skyhook, which I don't really know what it's supposed to be, but it's something that was big in the 70s with soldiers, was you would say, go and find a skyhook. I guess the idea is you can't hook anything onto the sky, maybe. But that's something that has become not only, we've all heard the word, the phrase skyhook, but there is now skyhooks are now an actual thing. So obviously there's the band Skyhooks, and there's several films of the name, but there is in sports, it's been, you can in climbing, skydiving, tennis, they all have skyhook is an actual thing. So you can now literally send someone for a skyhook. In technology, there's a cable called a skyhook, which is a device that can lift an object on a long cable hanging from the sky. You know, the idea of a space elevator, when they talk about a structure that goes from Earth all the way up to space.
Yes.
One of the designs is called the skyhook.
Yeah, so, you get sent to go and find something. You just have to quickly take out a patent and come back with it.
Yeah, come back with it.
Go find a left-handed hammer. All right, Google patents.
The thing is, if people are dumb enough to believe that the object exists, then they're dumb enough to go and buy it. We have many, many products that are stupid and don't work.
Some that are complete fallacies as well, which are real now. I would say cellulite does not exist. Cellulite is a word that we have for unphotoshopped skin because it's not a condition, it's the natural way that skin is.
Yeah.
And you can see it on people's legs.
Not mine, other people's.
Well, women in particular, it's just the way that fat sits. And if you don't Photoshop it out, that's what skin looks like.
Yeah.
But you're sent to beauty salons to have brushing done on your legs to get rid of it, and creams and little massage rollers and dieting and drinks and stuff to all flush out something that doesn't exist. All it is a word that we have for skin.
Yeah.
That is supposedly negative.
It's the same as pharmaceutical companies getting a collection of symptoms together, calling it a syndrome, and then providing a drug that gets rid of those collection of symptoms. I guess if you want to sell a product that doesn't work, it's much easier to sell a product that doesn't work to solve a problem that doesn't exist.
I had a joke about this a couple of shows ago. It was with persuasive advertising. It only came in kind of couple hundred years ago, because before then they'd only gotten up to making stuff that people needed. So, you don't sell a hammer going, this is a hammer, it's the best hammer. If you don't buy this hammer, you're a piece of shit, because you just need a hammer. So if you don't need something, if you have to sell somebody something that they don't need, you have to take something away to make room for it. So you have to take away some self-esteem, you have to take away the sense of security, you have to make room for it, which is where you get people, selling beauty creams and, heeled shoes for men, secret shoe lifts and stuff like that.
Yeah, things that you're told you need.
Yeah, and Coca-Cola even. It has to be sold with the motive advertising because you don't need it.
You don't need sugar water.
Yeah.
Flavored sugar water.
Yeah.
Do you know, as soon as you said that, I went, I could really go a Coke right now.
It's very pervasive advertising.
Wow, that's...
But, they don't have to be jerks about it. They just have to go, Coke is great. It's a fun party you're going to miss out on. Whereas anything that you really don't need, like say lipstick, it's when they go, this lipstick will make you popular and confident and special, and without it, you are nothing.
Yeah. I think that's why, because I'm trying to dress better at the moment. Like, not incredibly well.
You look lovely.
Thank you. That's all I was looking for. But I'm trying to just dress a little bit better. And so I look at old photos and go, okay, well, there's some mistakes I made. So I started reading up on just little things I can do to improve the way I'm dressed.
I saw your snappy window pane suit the other week.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, just a jacket. I couldn't go the full pants as well. Otherwise, enough. I'd look like a, window, I don't know, like a checkered, three-piece checkered suit, just making me look like a brush salesman from a Laurel and Hardy movie. Anyway, so I started trying to dress a little bit better. And you see an outfit in the shop, or you see the window, and then you get dressed, and then you look in the mirror, and then you're filled with a sense of loathing, self-loathing and despair and existential angst. And then when you feel the lowest amount of that feeling, you go, well, this must be what I need. I'll just buy that.
Yes.
And that's what, yeah. And the, what's horrible is the people in the shop think you're enjoying this and you're not.
No. In fact, for women's mannequins too, there are ones in David Jones that make me so angry because they are these 8 foot tall female mannequins with bendy, like wiggly bendy legs. And they each would have a BMI of, you know, huge amount of weight. They're very thin,
yeah.
Literally 8 foot towering things with bendy surrealist legs and arms.
Yeah.
And next to them are just normal male mannequins, just the normal height. And you're kind of telling women to, that ideal is almost a snipe hunt of here, you want to look like this.
Yeah.
This is beauty that exists.
Go for it.
Try out on our clothes and, you know, lament that you're not 8 foot tall and boneless.
Yeah. Bloody snipe hunt. I'm angry. I didn't expect to get angry. I'm gonna
I was angry before.
You're always angry. That doesn't count.
I know. I'm trying to get it out. I'm trying to not be that person, but you're real bottled up.
All right. I'm going to try and make you more angry. Okay. Here's a snipe hunt, and it doesn't really fit into the normal category of a snipe hunt. In fact, it's the opposite in that it's something that exists, and you want to find it, which is
world peace.
It's world peace. Yeah. No, it's people who literally want to hunt. So they want to go and hunt wild animals.
Oh, okay.
But there's all sorts of laws stopping you from hunting.
Yes.
For obvious reasons. So you need a license and a permit and so on. And this is the thing we found recently with Cecil the lion.
Yes.
That they took the lion, which was tagged, and they coaxed him out of the national park.
Naughty lion coaxes.
Yeah, they coaxed him out, and then they shot him where it was legal in inverted commas. So what they do in Namibia is they call it a snipe hunt, and it's basically a hunter with a permit can shoot any animal, any elephant that a community declares to be a problem. So, if there is an elephant that is rampaging through the village every day and squashing children, then it needs to be put to death, and they will allow a hunter to do that. So, what hunters do is pay the village, and then the village puts in a complaint about an elephant, and then the hunter gets to shoot the elephant.
That's so horrible.
And the village gets the money. And that's referred to as a snipe hunt, which that it means the opposite of a snipe.
The elephant's just minding its own business.
Yeah, sitting there wondering, yeah. Wondering when Bill's going to be back from gym with those Jarlsberg holes. And the next thing you know, he's the one that's full of Jarlsberg holes.
That's horrible.
It is horrible. You seemed angry, and I thought, well, why not just throw fuel on the fire? Okay, let's go through some more snipes. Classics, some classic snipes from around the world. A glass hammer, that's great because it would smash as soon as you'd used it. Tartan paint is a variation on the striped paint.
I like it.
A metric crescent wrench is a good one.
All things that don't exist.
All things, yeah. A bucket of grinder sparks, that's nice. That's quite beautiful, the idea of, you know, grinding the sparks fly off.
Yes.
Like a whole bucket of them. Assorted knots. We need some assorted knots. Bring a bucket of them. In the Netherlands, they love them. They have nail heads, air anchors, wooden electrodes, square hole drills, AC batteries. They go and send people to find the color bar at the TV station, which is, you know, the bar that appears. The German Marines have requested you've got to go and feed the bilge sow. A lot of it is very much, it's about showing your knowledge over someone who thinks that they know what's going on.
I feel I could get in trouble with a snipe hunt at work because my work ethic is not always awesome, particularly in menial, ridiculous jobs.
This is your day job. You're not referring to comedy as a menial.
No, I take that very, very, very seriously, and I do a lot of work for that. But any menial kind of shitty jobs, they could very easily send me to go look for something that didn't exist. And the moment I even struggled to find it, I just go sit in a cupboard somewhere. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, man, she's not back with that left-handed hammer. Oh, she's probably having trouble finding it. Nope. I'm just sitting in a cupboard reading a magazine.
I'm a little sad that in the life of Laura Davis, sitting in a cupboard is the equivalent of success. That's you. That's
but
you
it would winning. Be it would be how you would inadvertently win a snipe hunt is if you were a really shit apprentice. So the moment they sent you for a left-handed screwdriver, you went to the field and had a sleep. Came back 4 hours later, was like, sorry, man, I couldn't find the left-handed screwdriver. I'm like, doesn't exist. Oh, you got me. You would win. You would win the sniper.
Okay, I've got a list here just quickly of some left-handed tools, so things you can actually buy that are...
Do you want to tell me some and I'll tell you if they exist or not?
Okay, all right, here we go. Nice, easy one. A left-handed checkbook.
Yes. Yep. Exists.
That does exist.
Yes. Yeah, because they tear on the sense side, don't
they? That's right, and also you don't want to smudge when you're writing. You want to be able to make it nice if you're writing with your left hand.
But also... tell someone to go find a checkbook these days.
That's true. Just go find a checkbook.
Bloody hell.
A checkbook of any sort. Left-handed armchair.
No, existing.
No, doesn't exist. a left-handed potato peeler.
Yes, because you can also get ones for people with arthritis. So I would say that there is one.
Yep, that is correct. Left-handed guitar lessons.
Oh, yes. Exist?
Yep, there are. There's many books and DVDs on the subject. So you're doing really well.
I'm doing real good with my lefties.
Okay. A left-handed clock.
Nah.
That's a real thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I got you on that one. That was a bit of a fool's errand itself because that's a novelty item that you can buy from the left-handed shop that's clock that runs backwards.
All right. I don't feel so bad getting sniped with that.
Sniped on that one.
I got sniped.
Well done. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming on Scammapalooza.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. If people would like to read your essay, we didn't really even touch much on the themes.
Well, we covered most of it.
You have a nice conclusion about the nature of the snipe hunt that, to be honest, has made me a little sad because it's a lot more optimistic than the pessimism that you've brought to the table today.
It's been a long 5 years.
Anyway, if you would like to see Laura at her prime before comedy crushed comedy and hiding in cupboards at her work crushed her general spirit, go to conman.com.au/snipehunt.
I want to spruik my emoji cartoons because they've been really incredible. Fun.
Yes.
They're on Twitter. They're on my Instagram under Laura Davis Comic, and I retweet them on Twitter through Laura Davis Comic. But they've got their own Twitter page, which is emoji cartoons, and I've been having a real good time making them.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
As always, you can find out more at conman.com.au. This has been Scammapalooza.